Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Gracious God, as we come together as a family of faith, help us to worship you this morning, lift you up in our praise of your blessings here this day in this church. Help this church and this ministry be a vibrant ministry into the world and its local community. Come now and be a part with us in spirit as we join together in your word and in a message. All these things we ask in our living Savior's name, Jesus Christ. Amen. Again, good morning. It is wonderful to be here this morning. I did fail to meet Adrian's deadline. So my message and scripture is not in your bulletin. So I will share that with you this morning if you want to follow along in scripture. It is Matthew 6, 19 through 34. This is out of the New International Version. And so I'm going to confess to you this morning, I cheated a little bit. Verses 25 through 34 is where our message comes from this morning. But part of this scripture includes verses 19 through 24, which are some of my favorite scriptures in Matthew. So I added them because I think they connect well to our message this morning. So bear with me as we read, or as I read, Matthew 6, 19 through 34. So let's go to the Lord now in His Word. Lay up your treasures in heaven. Do not lay up yourselves treasures here on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, or where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body. So if your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light in you is darkness, how great is the darkness? No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. Do not be anxious. Therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body or what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to this span of life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon, in all of his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you? O ye of little faith, therefore do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after all of these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is our own trouble. This is the word of the Lord. The message this morning is spiritual thankfulness. I will be out of town and on vacation through the next couple weeks, so I won't get to see any of you through the Thanksgiving holiday. I may catch a couple of you right before the holiday. So I chose to spend my message or spend my time with you this morning on thankfulness. Now, although this is kind of geared to Thanksgiving and being thankful as Christians, I would render to bet that this is a message that we all can carry with us in our daily lives each and every day. So as we begin, heed the words of Scripture this morning. I have opened our message this morning with Scripture, and I will close it again with Scripture. Friends, being thankful is certainly more than self-centered gratification. We often find ourselves thanking God for what He has done for us. In fact, we did that this morning. We often say things like this traditional statement, "Thank you, God, for what you've done for me." And this is fine. It's not bad that we thank God for the blessings that He bestows. But we should be thankful for God's blessings all in totality, all of God's blessings. What I want to speak about this morning is not so much the thankfulness that we think about when we ask God or thank God for our blessings. I want to talk about spiritual thankfulness and what it means to be spiritually thankful. Spiritual thankfulness is a true gratitude to God for His character and His faithfulness to the world and to each one of us. Our purpose here today is to worship and give thanks to God. We do this traditionally every Sunday and other days throughout the year. However, our mission this morning is not only to give thanks to God, but to feel thankful for God in our lives. If we are honest with ourselves this morning, some of us do not feel very thankful. We feel worried, or we are anxious, or we're concerned, lonely, or stressed. And frankly, we feel like the bulls of life have caught us in the pasture run, and we won't make it to the fences or the gate. So let me tell you a quick story about a bull, a pasture, and two fellas. This is an old story about these guys walking through a pasture field. It goes like this. One day, Peter and John, while walking through a farmer's field, spotted a large herd bull grazing. Moments passed on at that point in time, and then the bull spotted them. Obviously, knowing they were not welcome, the herd bull became enraged. Instantly, in immense fear, the two men broke to run for the nearest fence or gate. As they ran, the bull followed them in hot pursuit. Soon it became clearly apparent to both of these men they were not going to make it. Obviously terrified, Peter shouted, "Send up a prayer, John. We're in for it." John answered, "I can't. I've never made a public prayer in my life." Peter said, "What? Are you kidding me, the son of a preacher? You have never prayed publicly. In 18 plus years living in the manse of the preacher's house, you've never prayed publicly." He said, "I don't know how to pray." John says, "I don't care. Pray. Pray. The bull is catching up." "All right," panted John frantically. I'll say the only prayer I know." And Peter said, "I don't care what you say. Just pray." He said, "Well, I'll say the one that my father taught us to pray as children, a familiar prayer." Peter said, "Fine, pray, because he's catching us." John began with this prayer. O Lord, for what we are about to receive, make us truly thankful. This brings a new meaning to our directive this morning found in Scripture. Do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is our own trouble. John and Peter had sufficient worries in that millisecond of time running for the fences, did they not? Soon, friends, we will sit down to write and mail or email our Thanksgiving greetings to all of our friends and our loved ones and our family members. Because we're just days away from celebrating this momentous occasion and holiday in our life. We all know how this goes. We write a generic letter and we copy it over and over perhaps, and then we add a personal message at the beginning and a personal message at the end, but the body's all the same and we try to identify each individual as we write. Or perhaps we just send a simple note. Or maybe we write a message in a personal message inside of a pre-printed Thanksgiving card. Such as, maybe it says, "Have a good Thanksgiving. Be grateful to God." Or, "Happy Thanksgiving. We hope you have a pleasant time with your family and your friends during the holiday season. We are all thankful for our blessings." But as we write or type these notes, we can't help but to think of the struggles and the loss most of us have experienced in the past year, and really over the past 22 months. In short, it is sometimes hard to give thanks. As we send these Thanksgiving greetings, we often remind our friends in our messages and our loved ones that they too should be thankful. Often we don't think about how this reminder may be received, how it's received by those who may believe that this may be their last Thanksgiving, or perhaps they have lost someone and it is not. Last Thanksgiving was their last Thanksgiving. We read or hear daily that, you know, our world around us is getting better. We often are reminded by that, depending on what paper we read or what TV show we see or news blip, that our world is getting better. But we may not feel that way. We maybe don't see the evidence of that. In fact, we feel the opposite, perhaps. Believe it or not, it has been 22 long months since our pandemic was declared, and we shut our world down. We changed the way we do everything, including worshiping God. And today, we find ourselves still struggling to recover, even in all the advancements that we've made in our effort to defeat this bug. Again, it is sometimes hard to be thankful. And here we have, this morning in Scripture, Jesus saying these words, "Hey, don't worry about your life." So here's the question for you today as we enter into the season of Thanksgiving and into the season of joy. What is your Thanksgiving going to look like? What does it look like? Is it joyful? Or perhaps are you anxious about it? Sometimes, and quite frankly, most of the time for us, it is hard to follow the instruction of Jesus and not worry about our life. Paul, in his letter to the Philippians, said something very similar when he wrote these words: "Rejoice in the Lord always." Let me repeat the directive. Rejoice. Paul, in his gospel, was always giving thanks to God. In his life, as he wrote these letters, he always gave thanks to God. In another letter, Paul writes, "Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." In 1 Timothy 2:1, Paul urges us to constantly lift up ourselves in prayer to God, including the prayers of thanksgiving for everybody else. Not only for us, but for everyone else. So before you say, "Now wait a minute, Derek, let me stop you there. Let me throw this out here because I already know what you're thinking, I think. You believe that it was easy for Jesus and it was easy for Paul because these guys were spiritual giants and they had a simpler life than we do. Look, we're just average folks this morning trying to live out the faith of a world that makes us question every move that we make. It questions us every chance it gets. And these are unprecedented times, are they not? The world we live in is much harder to navigate and survive than their world. And these guys were spiritual giants. You're talking about Jesus and Paul. We're just mortal men and women. Well, friends, think again. Paul talked about how difficult his life was in 2 Corinthians 11:23 through 28. Paul did not have it easy, make no mistake. Nor did our Savior Jesus Christ, for that matter. Listen to these words from Paul, and as I read these words from Paul, listen to some of the similarities found in Jesus' life. Paul said this, "I have worked hard. I have been in prison more frequently, been flogged more severely, and been exposed to death again and again. 5 times I received from the Jews the 40 lashes minus one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. I spent a night and a day in an open sea. I have been constantly on the move. I have been in danger from rivers, in danger from bandits, in danger from my own countrymen, in danger from Gentiles, in danger in the city, in danger in the country, in danger at sea, and in danger from false brothers. I have labored and toiled and have often gone without sleep. I have known hunger and thirst, and I have often gone without food. I have been cold and naked. And besides all of that, everything else, I face daily the pressure of my concern for all the churches. Yet, friends, this is the man who wrote, 'Give thanks always.'" And if you heard some of the similarities to Jesus this morning, Jesus tells us, don't worry about your life. I believe what both of these men are trying to say to us this morning in Scripture is that we should be thankful when things are going great. We always are. But we also should be thankful, even perhaps more thankful, when things are not going our way. It's hard to be thankful when someone in our family dies or is ill, when our finances are in trouble because we have lost our job, perhaps. It's hard to be thankful when our relationships have fractured. It's hard in these times to be spiritual and give spiritual thanksgiving when you feel like a failure. But yet Paul, a man of many life challenges, says, "Give thanks in all circumstances." And Jesus tells us, "Don't worry. Don't worry about your life." Paul knew hard times and he knew he should give thanks to God. Even in the most difficult of his situations, Paul knew that it is difficult to be thankful in all of the situations that the world brought to his feet. But yet he instructs us to do the same. Be thankful in all situations and circumstances. Jesus knows our lives are hard. Why? Because he lived it. He was one of us. Jesus says this because he is speaking to us on a spiritual level. In this very verse, he goes on to say, it is not life more than food itself, and the body more than clothes. Listen to the optimism and the perceived spiritual thankfulness found in these two stories that I'm getting ready to share with you. First story is about a Scottish minister, Alexandria Wythe. He was known for his uplifting prayers in the pulpit. He always found something for which to be grateful. One Sunday morning, the weather was horrific. It was gloomy, nasty. They even considered probably closing church. One of the church members thought privately to himself, certainly, the preacher won't think of anything for which to be to thank the Lord on this wretched day. Much to his surprise, the pastor stood up and Wythe began to pray, and he said these, "We thank thee, O God, that it is not always like this." He found optimism. His optimism was in his spiritual thankfulness, and it was in his attitude. Second story. A man living in Budapest goes to his rabbi and complains. "Life is unbearable," he says. "There are 9 of us living in a one-room house. What can I do?" The rabbi answers, "You got a goat?" He said, "Yes, sir." He said, "I want you to go home and put that goat in the room with you." The guy says, I'm not going to do that." The rabbi says, "Do as I say and come back in a week." Reluctantly, the man did it. A week later, the man comes back looking more distraught than ever before. "We cannot stand it," he says. He tells the rabbi, "The goat is filthy and nasty, and that's to put it mildly." The rabbi then tells him, "Go home, let the goat out. Come back and see me in a week." A week passed, and here comes a radiant and elated man returning to the rabbi a whole week later, exclaiming, "Life is beautiful, Rabbi. We enjoy every minute of it now that there is no goat. It's just only the 9 of us in that one room." Being thankful is spiritual. In a relationship with the Lord, it is true thankfulness. In these two stories, we see thankfulness through attitude and through internal peace. We see thankfulness. Having a positive attitude is crucial. It is more than simply looking on the bright side. Now, these two things, attitude, internal peace, those two specific things in this message this morning has come directly out of 11-week Bible study held here in this church. Friends, one of our most popular hymns that we sing in the Thanksgiving times says these words, "Now thank we all our God, with heart and hands and voices, who wondrous things had done, in whom his world rejoices, who from our mother's arms hath led us on our way, with countless gifts of love, and still is ours today." Let me tell you how that hymn found its way in hymnals. You see, it never really started out to be a hymn. It was a prayer. A German pastor by the name of Martin Rinkhart, long ago in the 1600s, amid the darkness of 30 years of war, hundreds of people were dying. Martin Rinkhart is said to have buried 5,000 of his parishioners in 1 year. Now, I'm no mathematician, but I believe that's about 15 per day. His parish was ravaged by war, death, economic disaster, illness, sickness, divorce. In the heart of that darkness, with the cries of fear outside of his very window, he sat down and wrote these words as a table grace for his children. That's attitude. That's spiritual thankfulness. Thankfulness in God is not simply a self-centered appreciation for the things God does for us and for the things God gives us. Spiritual thankfulness is God and a God-centered appreciation for the faithfulness of God in our lives and the ability to share in a relationship with Jesus Christ, our Savior. As we prepare to celebrate our national holiday in a few short days and weeks to come, think of this as you make your plans. The world swarms around us like a bee swarm, a swarm of bees close to their hive. And it comes, just like a swarm of bees, with many concerns. As Christians, remember, we are sheltered in the Lord. We're like David, who fought the giant. We need no man-made coat of armor. We have spiritual armor. Thankfulness is spiritual. As we walk in faith, our thankfulness should come from our relationship in Christ Jesus. We should not seek blessings as we are already blessed in our relationship in Him. Our blessings flow because we are one in Christ. Jesus walking in Him, that's what we should do. We're not just walking beside Him, we're walking in Him. This is the true meaning of being blessed. This, friends, is spiritual thankfulness. I want to close this morning with Scripture. I want to read you again Paul's words. And then I want to take you back to one word in that verse. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Rejoice in the Lord always. There is one word that is said twice in this Scripture. It's in. Listen to it again. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. It does not say with. Walking with, it's walking in Christ Jesus. Rejoice in the Lord always. This is spiritual thankfulness. Amen.